Good morning, my friends, and welcome to another scintillating episode from high above all other pedantic and puerile forms of Wyoming mainstream media. This is Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson, broadcasting to you from the base of the Bighorns in beautiful Buffalo, Wyoming. Disturbingly uneducated delusions. They seem to be everywhere. The old 1828 defines delusion as false representation, illusion, error, or mistake proceeding from false views. And honestly, it wouldn't be an election unless the Pravda on the Platte was attempting to convince us of something that just isn't true. Like their namesake, the Pravda is the premier newspaper in Russia, and Pravda, literally translated, means truth. Today, the Pravda is run by the Communist Party of the Russian Federation, the country's modern Communist Party. From 1918 to 1991, the original Pravda served as the official mouthpiece of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union. I'm sure that everything that was printed in that paper was the truth. Now, I'm not suggesting that the Casper Star Tribune is the mouthpiece for the Communist Party. I am, however, suggesting that they intentionally mislead their readers. That is, trying to convince you of things that just aren't true. Above the fold, on the front page of this morning's paper, and I quote, title, Cheney, Trump tried to contact witness. Congresswoman warns against effort to influence testimony, written by Victoria Evis. To which we should all reply to Victoria, so what? Oh, sorry, you must be under the mistaken impression that the January 6th committee is a legal proceeding. It is not. It's a congressional hearing. It's no different than the interview that I'm going to do with 307 Net Radio later this afternoon. I'm being serious. It's not a legal proceeding, and that means that Donald Trump can contact any witness that he so chooses. There's no witness intimidation here. That only happens out of a courtroom. And there's absolutely nothing that Donald Trump could be prosecuted for in talking to a witness that's going to talk in front of Cheney's sham committee. But let me read to you what is on the front page of the Pravda on the Platte. Quote, former President Donald Trump attempted to contact a witness in the House January 6th committee investigation following the panel's last hearing, which featured explosive testimony from a former White House aide, Representative Liz Cheney said on Tuesday. Cheney made the remarks at the end of the committee's seventh hearing. She said that the witness, who has not testified yet, did not answer Trump, but informed the person's attorney instead. The attorney, in turn, told the committee, which passed along the information to the Department of Justice. Quote, let me just say one more time that we will take any effort to influence witness testimony very seriously, Cheney said. This is not journalism. This is advocacy. Back to the dictionary. Journalism, the work of gathering news for, writing for, editing, or directing the publication of a newspaper or other periodical. Advocacy, the act of writing or speaking in support of something. Now, Evis doesn't come out and say that President Trump contacting a witness for Crickets Cheney's sham kangaroo court is some sort of crime, because she knows that that is absolutely not true. She implies it. If Victoria Evis, on the front page of the Pravda on the Platte, was engaging in journalism, she would have followed up Crickets' comments with the following paragraph. President Trump is in no legal jeopardy after contacting a witness, as the January 6th committee is not a legal proceeding and is instead a congressional hearing. Alas, we're not going to find that sort of unbiased journalism in the pages of the Pravda on the Platte. Harken back, if you will, to June the 10th in an article entitled Cheney helps lead first night of January 6th hearings, says Trump could be guilty of federal crimes, again written by Victoria Evis. One line of the article is enough to tell you whose side the quote-unquote journalist is on. Keep in mind, the dictionary doesn't mention the word editorializing anywhere in the definition, but here it is, and I quote, the Equality State's solitary congresswoman indicated that she will end up on the right side of history, end quote. Barf. My point in all of this is that it is clear that the Pravda on the Platte, the Kasper Star Tribune, is not interested in reporting facts on their front page or otherwise. They are, however, interested in propping up Cricket's Cheney. I mean, it stands to reason, since the Pravda on the Platte, the Kasper Star Tribune, is not owned by a Wyoming company. Rather, it is owned by a Virginia company. And, you know, papers protect their own, and Liz Cheney does happen to live in Virginia. Nor is the Pravda on the Platte printed in Wyoming. It's actually printed in Nebraska. If Victoria Evis has a shred of journalism in her repertoire, we'll see some sort of article explaining exactly what the January 6th Commission is. A kangaroo court that is no different than Joe McCarthy's committee. The only difference between Cricket's Cheney and Joe McCarthy is that McCarthy was right. In the end, you have to read the Pravda on the Platte as the bullcrap that it is. The only difference between it and the real Pravda is that instead of it being the mouthpiece for the Communist Party, it is the mouthpiece for Liz Cheney and the Redcoats. In other fantastic news, the new inflation report is out. Congratulations, it's at a 40-year high at 9.1%. Inflation, literally, is too many dollars chasing too few of goods. In other words, if you have a $10 bill in your pocket, and I say a $10 bill and not $100 because the old C note is probably in your gas tank right about now, but literally what it means is that $10 bill is only worth about $9 now. Isn't that just great? Expect the stock market to take a straight-up nosedive today. But pay no attention to that. Instead, pay attention to some completely egregious self-aggrandizement. You can listen to the podcast on any of your favorite podcasting apps. iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn, really any of them will work. But the easiest way is just to go to the website, cowboystatepolitics.com. There you can find all of the shows as well as any of the articles that I might bring up during the course of a program. If your name is Cricket's Cheney and you have no idea what's legal and what's not, well, you can go to cowboystatepolitics.com, pull up an article, and educate yourself, just like you should have been doing this whole time, but didn't. This segment of the program is brought to you by 307 Cowboy Country. They are Central and Southeastern Wyoming's full line of Montana shed dealers. If you're in the market for a backyard shed or a greenhouse or even a garage, you should give my friends Bryce and Melody Reese a call at 307-441-1815. Montana Shed Center, buildings for life. On Saturday, I had the pleasure of attending a traditional election year barbecue in Douglas, in which current Representative Aaron Clausen was in attendance. If you're unfamiliar with Representative Aaron Clausen, he is Converse County's own Redcoat. He claims to be a Republican, but he pretty much votes with leadership almost all of the time. And to give you an idea of how big of a redcoat he is, he's actually about four places less conservative than my own redcoat representative, Barry Crago. On WyoVote, he rates number 26 on the list, which puts him about the middle of the pack. On Evidence-Based Wyoming, he too votes with the Democrats about 75% of the time. And we don't even really have to look at Wyo Rhino because we already know where Aaron Clausen is at. He's with all the other redcoats. Anyhow, he had a chance to get up and speak, but let me set the stage for you a little bit. See, where everybody was speaking from was kind of behind me. I was seated under the very shady shade trees, so it was kind of difficult for anyone talking to see me in the audience. Now, I wasn't hiding from anybody. I was taking advantage of the best shade in the yard. And I doubt very seriously that Representative Aaron Clausen even knows what I look like, not that he hasn't seen me in the gallery, but because he just doesn't attend Republican events. It's kind of hard to be a redcoat and show up at a Wyoming GOP event. Anyhow, Representative Clausen finished his comments, and then he asked if there were any questions, and this ensued. Now, remember, all of this was recorded outside, so it's a little bit difficult to hear, and there's some background noise, but you can clearly hear his non-answer to my very specific question.
I have a question. Can you tell us why you didn't vote to discuss the Fairness in Women's Sports Act?
Oh, procedural vote, okay.
So that's a procedural vote. So, sometimes in the two bodies of the legislature, you have schedules, right? So it's certain mutual destruction, sort of. But you have days where you have certain days when you cut off debate on entry of bills in both houses. So if one house debates a bill, or debates committee of the whole, introduces bills for a whole nother day, then the other house's bills don't get heard. So that bill happened to fall under a day when the Senate decided to run a whole nother day over and not hear House bills. So the leadership and the Speaker of the House decided not to put those up. So we proceed.
Oh, so I get it. It doesn't really matter what the bill is about. If leadership says they don't want to talk about it, Representative Aaron Claussen just goes along with them. And it doesn't really matter that this is probably in the top five issues for Wyoming conservatives right about now, does it? No, that doesn't matter at all. But you'll notice that he didn't answer my question. He just explained what happened with the vote. He didn't explain why he voted for or against it. Because Representative Aaron Claussen knows that this is one of the most important issues for Wyoming Republicans right now. What their children are being taught in schools. How they're being treated in schools. If Converse County Republicans needed any evidence as to where Representative Aaron Claussen's loyalties lie, this is it. He sides with the leadership and it doesn't matter what's important to his constituents. That much is very clear. After the break, I've got a great interview with former Representative Lars Loane. You might remember him. In 2016, he was elected as the representative from House District 12 out of Laramie County. And then he bought property in House District 10 and moved there. And so he had to resign the legislature. Now, you remember, just a little bit ago, Representative Dan Zwanitzer did the very same thing and moved to the very same district, but he didn't follow the law like Representative Lars Loane. But anyway, it's a great interview, and I'll play it for you after the break. But first, a completely obscene profit timeout. Cowboy State Politics is brought to you by Morton Buildings. If you're in the market for an outbuilding or a garage or a barn or a roping arena or a giant warehouse or any other type of metal structure, then you need to call my friends Nick and Jesse at Morton Buildings, 307-674-2532. These guys are the experts in metal building construction. They've been doing it longer than anybody else around, and they definitely do it better than anybody else around. And the truth is, you've probably seen their work when you've been traveling the highways and byways of the Cowboy State and not even known it, because their work stands the test of time. You're going to receive a 50-year warranty on the foundation, which is something that you're not going to get from any of their competitors. So it doesn't matter what type of metal building that you need, give Nick and Jesse a call, 307-674-2532, or you can check them out on their website at mortonbuildings.com.
I'm just running for commissioner because I think you don't need to complain about a situation if you can do something about it. So I've got time to be involved, so here I am.
Danny O'Neill is a principled constitutional conservative, and he's running for Converse County Commissioner on August 16th.
Well, I think the people don't feel like they've been listened to. People's complained. They took a vote on the Justice Center, and two times I hear that they've turned it down and they still built it anyway. So it's just things like that. There's not clearness, transparency. The people feel like that they're not being responsible with what they're in charge of. So I plan on seeing why that is. You don't know all the facts until you get into something like that. But that's my goal, is to find out why and see if we can do a better job.
Vote Danny O'Neill for Converse County Commissioner on August 16th.
This ad was paid for by me. I'm Danny O'Neill, and I approve this message.
It's Gun of the Week time from Gunrunner Auctions. The gun of the week is sort of a different one. It's lot number 85. It's a Colt Model 1900 38 caliber auto pistol with a 6-inch barrel. It's been refinished to good condition. This rare Colt is an early forerunner to the 1911 6-inch barrel. It has a lot of frost in some places and some minor pitting, but it's got a good tight action. 1897 patent date on the side. It's been lightly buffed, and some of the markings on the slide are not readable, but the refinished blue barrel is 90%. It's got a Colt marked checkered black grips that are very good. The magazine has a patent date of 1884 on the bottom of it. This is a gun that you don't see every day. It'd be a nice addition to any Colt collection. It's lot number 85 at GunrunnerAuctions.com. And now, back to the program. Lars Loane is a rare type of politician. He was elected to the Wyoming House of Representatives back in 2016 from House District 12. And then he found some property in House District 10, bought it, and then he moved. Unlike Redcoat Dan Zwanitzer, who skirted the law when he bought a house in House District 10, Lars Loane resigned his seat. Well, he's running for re-election again. I had a great discussion with him yesterday. Here it is. I'm joined this morning by Lars Loane. Lars is running for the Wyoming House of Representatives in House District 10. How are we doing today, Lars?
I'm doing very good. Thank you, Dave.
Well, welcome to Cowboy State Politics. As this is your first time on the program, why don't we start with you just telling us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, great. Thank you. I am Lars Loane. I'm 43 years old and have been living in Wyoming since 2000. Shortly after moving to Wyoming, I actually joined the Navy and serving on ships. They told me there weren't any ships they could put me on here. So I traveled the world. I've been stationed in Virginia, Texas, California, Japan, Iraq, Djibouti, and a host of other locations. And, you know, once I retired from the military just this last December, I made sure that my roots would be permanently here in Wyoming because there's no place like Wyoming.
Oh, I would prefer that we tell people that Wyoming doesn't exist and they should move somewhere else.
Well, I do tell people that. They don't believe that it's an actual state many times, but, you know, it's okay. I mean, It's a great state. You know, the people here are wonderful. Of all the places I've ever been, you know, it's that saying about Wyoming being a big a city with long streets is very true, because going into supermarkets, you can talk with people and have a good time and start conversations. And I've just never been anywhere else where that's capable of happening. So it's a great place.
I'm constantly amazed, you know, in all the traveling that I do across the state, you know, just about everywhere I go, like, I'll run into somebody that I know. You were a representative in the House before, correct?
That is correct. In 2016, I became a representative of House District 12. And in 2018, I had the opportunity to purchase some land in House District 10 and build a house. And once that was built, I moved to House District 10 and actually resigned my position from House District 12.
It's too bad you weren't on the Corporations Committee. You could have drawn a little box around your house like Representative Zwanitzer did.
Well, the great thing was I was actually on Corporations Committee, and I thought it was appropriate to do what the law is already in place that says we were supposed to do. So,
imagine that, somebody following the law.
I know, it is incredible. I'm an avid supporter of our law, and especially our Constitution. It is the rule of law, and that's what we're supposed to follow every day.
As some of our listeners may be pretty familiar with House District 10, why don't you tell us what some of the issues are that are going on in your district are? I mean, what are you running on?
Well, I'm running on, of course, being a Second Amendment advocate. I'm a huge, you know, we've seen many, many school shootings, and we're a very rural district with very little police visits. So I'm running on the fact that we need to remove gun-free zones, and we need to be able to take care of our teachers and allow them the opportunities to protect our students. I'm also, since my district is very rural, I'm also concerned about agricultural and ranching rights and ensuring that we maintain those for our citizens out there. And of course, education is a big issue for me as well. I've got a 4-year-old, I've got a 5-year-old, they're getting ready to start school. And I don't think they should be learning about CRT or SEL or any of that kind of stuff. You know, they need to be learning the basics of reading, writing, and arithmetic.
All right. Well, certainly education is one of the biggest issues this election. More specifically, education funding. And
yes,
you know, Wyoming schools do not have a funding problem. They have a spending problem. So in your opinion, Lars, what could we do as a state to get our school spending somewhere near the ballpark of where it needs to be?
Well, you know, that's a great question. And one of my thoughts is this: our education system is a monopoly right now. And monopolies are designed not to support those individuals. They're designed to support the big corporation. And that corporation is the education program. So the first thing we can do is to get rid of the monopoly. And we do that by creating vouchers. You know, we have a constitutional requirement to ensure that all students have the right to learn. And they currently say, well, you can send your student to any school in the district. Well, if all the districts and all the schools in that district are teaching something you don't want to learn or you don't want your kids learning, well, is it actually the best choice for your kids? No. It's not. So what they should be doing, if they truly want to ensure that all kids are treated equal, is create a voucher system for the parents and allow the parents to spend the money in whatever school district or school system they think is appropriate for their kid.
I couldn't agree more. Now, a lot of the representatives from the Cheyenne area, and of course, your House District 10 is to the east of Cheyenne, and as you mentioned, it's kind of rural, but historically, most of the representatives from Cheyenne, they tend to vote as a pretty liberal block. And the guy you're running against, I mean, he votes right there with him. So what are the big differences between you and John Eklund, the current representative of House District 10?
Well, it's great. There's actually Evidence-Based Wyoming provides a list of all of the bills that individuals voted on. And it goes back many, many years. So you could actually pull that up and compare me directly to Representative Eklund and see that I was the second most conservative individual in the House for those 2 years. The only person more conservative than me was Roy Edwards, who has passed away. He was an awesome, awesome conservative and a supporter of the Constitution. And, you know, I counted a privilege being able to work with Roy Edwards. But if you look at that list, you know, Roy Edwards, Mark Jennings, myself and Chuck Gray were the foremost conservative people in the House. And that's something I, you know, I believe is appropriate. And I will continue to maintain that conservative value when I'm in the House.
Now, there's been several articles lately, in pretty much every major Wyoming publication about, you know, who's conservative, more conservative than whom, and who's a real conservative. So in your mind, what does being a conservative mean?
I think conservative means that we actually put our foundations in the Constitution. That's our first point of reference for all bills that come through the House. For me, being a conservative, I looked at several things. First off, when I was evaluating bills in the House, if I couldn't understand it, I wouldn't vote for it. It didn't matter who it came from. Bills are not designed to be, or should not be designed to be, confusing. If you read the Constitution of the United States, the Second Amendment, it's one sentence long. You know, a well-regulated militia being necessary for the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. That's how laws should be written. If it's a 90-page bill, it should go away. So, because that's confusing. So first off, I looked at whether or not I understood it as a layman. Second, I would see how the Democrats were voting on it because they're very liberal and they don't support it. And then I would look at who was actually supporting the bill. If there were lobbyists and big companies, you know, wanting these bills to pass, that was usually a red flag for me. If citizens were coming in and speaking out against it, that would, or speaking for it either way, that was, you know, a huge indicator for me, because we're representing the people. And if the people are concerned with it, that's something we need to take into consideration. And in many cases, you know, especially when I was in office, we had a lot of bills regarding sanctity of life, abortions. And folks are passionate about that. And I am too. I'm a pro-life individual. And so when we'd hear folks talk about that, that really struck a chord with me.
All right. You were on the Corporations Committee. So in your mind, what can be done to strengthen the integrity of Wyoming elections?
A lot could be done to strengthen the integrity. I was really excited when they got voter ID passed. I know when I was in the House, we tried to get it passed and it failed. So having an ID is a great thing. You know, a problem that we have is early voting. That doesn't do us any good. That allows for manipulation of the ballot. So I think early voting should go away. You know, they say voting is our right. I don't agree with that. I think voting is our duty. And as a duty, it's something that should be a little bit of work for us to get accomplished. It shouldn't just be something we can throw, you know, put on the back burner and not deal with. It should be one day a year, just like the Constitution says. We should all go in and write on a paper ballot and submit those paper ballots. The electronic balloting system is something that is open to corruption and manipulation. And so I think we should go back to how we did it many years ago, on a piece of paper and counted each one individually.
Okay, so you voted, you mentioned voting by machine, and which is something that happens in Laramie County. How do you correct that?
We would have to correct that on a statewide level. And, you know, we would have to ensure that the funds that are sent to the counties in block grants are designated for appropriate voting. And then wherever they're not doing it appropriately, you know, we do what the legislature is able to do, and that's limit funds to those counties or bring it up to the AG's office and so forth, which needs some work as well.
So I've got one more question as it relates to elections. Yep. Secretary of State Buchanan has been all over the state giving presentations saying that there's absolutely nothing wrong with our election system. Yet, I know for a fact that there were ballot drop boxes in several Wyoming counties. I think there were 9. Are there problems in Wyoming's elections? I mean, do you personally question the outcome of the 2020 election in Wyoming?
I do. I do question that outcome because of the ballot boxes. That is, I mean, I saw 2,000 Mules, which was a great documentary. It showed how easy it is to manipulate ballots through the ballot boxes. You know, on a grander scale of just having ballot boxes, you know, the voter rolls haven't been updated in a long time. I talked to a friend of mine who's helping in Fremont County, and he's getting looking at the voter rolls, and his mother, who has passed away, showed up on the voter rolls. And so when he questioned that, there was a comment that said, well, she didn't come in and tell us she was no longer wanting to vote. Well, she's dead.
she didn't tell us she was dead.
Right. So, you know, the Secretary of State's office gets reports of deaths every couple weeks. That should be incorporated into the voter rolls, and people who are dead should automatically be removed. They shouldn't have to call in, you know, to report that they're dead and no longer want ballots.
Well, bring up a good point, because across the state, there isn't really any uniformity as to how often we're cleaning up the voter rolls. So, for example, in Johnson County, our clerk has been known to kill people off prematurely. You know, in other counties, like perhaps Fremont, I think that's the one you mentioned, they don't clean their voter rolls very often. So is that something that you would write a bill on that would mandate that counties clean their voter rolls once a year?
Yeah, absolutely. I would do that. And I would be more than happy to help develop and write a bill and sponsor a bill like that, because that's something that should be standard. I mean, if we can't count on our voter rolls, you know, how are we actually going to ensure that our elections aren't fraudulent? I know when I ran 2 years ago and sent out mailers from the Secretary of State's office, I went to the Secretary of State's office and I requested, a mailing list of all the Republicans and sent out a mailer. And I got about 160 of those back with those people not living at that address anymore. And I mean, they're expensive to send out mailers, and to have 160 mailers, you know, basically be wasted because the voter rolls aren't up to date and they're not actually showing the voters where they're at is an abomination to our system of voting.
Okay, let's go back to the Second Amendment. You know, Wyoming's got a pretty good history of passing pro-gun bills. What, in your opinion, should be the next step in strengthening the Second Amendment rights for Wyoming citizens?
So I'm big on that. You know, it was awesome to see they passed the SEPA bill this past cycle. It wasn't a perfect bill by any stretch of the imagination, but it was a good bill. It has some of the strongest penalties in the nation for individuals that violate the SEPA bill. That's the Second Amendment Preservation Act. Having clearer definitions in there and showing citizens' rights in there a little bit more would be great, so we can improve upon that bill. I think it's great that we a couple of years ago passed a Food Freedom Act, which allowed citizens to sell food within the state. So if, for example, if my mom wanted to have some chickens and sell those eggs, you know, they wouldn't have to get approved through the FDA or anything like that for her to be able to sell them to her neighbor. We said this, you know, food freedom, we have the right to sell food within our state to our neighbors if we want to. Well, that's, I think, the first step in, you know, commerce altogether. You know, commerce within our state should be allowed to proceed regardless of what the federal government says. And so extending the Food Freedom Act to include other areas of consumption, to include weapons, I think would be a good direction to go.
Lars, why should Laramie County citizens, House District 10 citizens, pull the proverbial lever for you and not John Eklund?
When I served, there were tax bills that were brought up that I voted against because I'm not a big fan of taxes. I think that's a form of theft. John Eklund voted for those. When it comes to creating bureaucracies and giving regulation control to bureaucracies and not maintaining them in the legislature, is a failure of the legislature. That's where law is supposed to be maintained by our Constitution. I voted against every bureaucracy that was that came across our desk. House Bill 112 in 2017 comes to mind regarding that. And he voted for that. So he's for creating bureaucracies. He's for implementing taxes and fees. Here's a big one. Rhinos love the word fees because they'll say, I don't tax anything. I only raise fees. Well, guess what fees are? They're taxes. They're taxes on the people. They're just under a different name. And I don't agree with raising fees. I don't agree with assessing fees. And I don't agree with assessing taxes. And that is something my counterpart has stood for and actually voted for in the past.
Now, you mentioned bureaucracy. And we in Wyoming, we are a big fan of agencies. And it's created a bloated state government. In fact, we have about 800 state employees for every 10,000 citizens, which, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's probably the highest in the country, if not pretty close to the top. So
yep.
if we're gonna get a handle on bureaucracy in the state of Wyoming, what's the first one you're going after?
The first bureaucracy Well, being a hunter and a fisherman and a user of the roads, the two biggest that I would start with is DOT and Game and Fish.
Okay, why?
Well, for things like DOT, we have, you know, a lot of unnecessary commodities here, like our state planes. We have multiple state planes. We pay for the pilots of those. And, you know, planes are like boats. They're money pits. And, you know, we're a small state, you know, people-wise. We don't need to be living this lavish luxury of state planes to fly around in. We can drive. It shows that you're among the people when you do that as well. So DOT gets a lot of funding from some, you know, federal sources that may be questionable. So reorganizing that and, you know, fixing the DOT program would be a great thing. And Game and Fish is, you know, an organization that should be very limited in how they manage our fish and wildlife. I know hunters are probably some of the most conservative people in the state. And, you know, they also care about our environment. And some of the regulations that are in place regarding hunting and fishing are pretty excessive.
I would agree. You know, and one of the more shocking things that I heard, you know, since I've started Cowboy State Politics is in the Wyoming Department of Transportation. There are folks, supervisory folks, that only supervise one person. There are duplicative departments. There are, I mean, well, we haven't had an audit in so long that we probably couldn't tell, you know, how many of these folks have, or how many of these departments have duplicative services. So, I mean, I think that's a good target to go after. Certainly when we're talking about having to pinch pennies with our state budget. So Lars, if people want to get a hold of you, how do they do that?
So the best way to get a hold of me is actually through my email, lars4hd10@gmail.com. I do have a Facebook page as well that they can hop onto, which is Lars for House D10. And also I'm on Twitter. So, feel free to look me up on any one of those places. I'm quick to respond to emails. Typically within 4 to 5 hours, I do have a normal life, a normal job, just like everyone else, and a family that I take care of. So that is the best way. And I'm happy to talk with anybody and to discuss. I know when I was in House District 12, we had individuals who would email me and say, Lars, could you look at this? Could you look at this bill, or could you look at something? I had an individual from Ten Sleep say, we have some concerns about our differences between alcohol and wine and how they're treated within the state. Would you be interested in looking at that problem? And I said, absolutely. So I don't mind where these emails come from. I appreciate citizens' responses everywhere.
Well, if you listen to some of your soon-to-be colleagues in Laramie County, you know, they only read the important emails.
Yeah, which is wrong.
All right, Lars, is there anything else you'd like to talk about that we may have missed?
Not off the top of my head. I think that covers everything for now. I sure appreciate time to come on your channel and just give a little quick rundown. And I do appreciate everything you're doing up there at Cowboy State Politics. It's something that we really needed in our state.
Well, thank you very much. And you're definitely welcome here anytime you like. So good luck in your race in House District 10. And let us know if you hear of anything else from all those redcoats down there in Laramie County.
I definitely will.
Well, that'll do it for this installment of Cowboy State Politics. Have a good rest of your week, and we'll talk again on Saturday. From the base of the Bighorns in beautiful Buffalo, Wyoming, I'm David Iverson, and this is Cowboy State Politics.